This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Ayahs 130-141. We'll do a quick review of the verses that we have done so far, and then inshallah we'll continue the lesson.
وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ.
And who would be averse to the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam except one who makes a fool of himself? We learn in this ayah that the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the way of submission, the way of loyalty to Allah, the way of obedience to Allah, was the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. And if anyone turns away from the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, he is only harming himself. He is only being a fool, as he is depriving himself of his role, of his responsibility, of his purpose. And the purpose of our creation is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person turns away from the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ اصْطَفَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. We had chosen Ibrahim alayhi salam in this dunya. So why wouldn't you follow his way? He was somebody who was chosen. Why? For the work that he did, for the sacrifices that he made. And in the hereafter also, وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. He will be of those who are righteous, meaning he will be in Jannah. So the way of Ibrahim a.s. is the way that leads to success, both in dunya and the hereafter. That in dunya, if a person follows the way of Ibrahim, Allah is going to be happy with that person. Because وَلَقَدْ اصْطَفَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. We chose him in the dunya. And when a person lives according to the way of Ibrahim in this dunya, then in the hereafter, he will also be of those who are successful. Why was Ibrahim alayhi salam chosen? إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. For the simple reason that when Allah told him to submit, what did Ibrahim a.s. do? He immediately submitted to Allah. He didn't say why. He didn't say when. He didn't say how. He said, okay, whatever you tell me, I'll do it. Aslamtu. And notice the word aslamtu is in the past tense. It's in the past tense. What does it mean? I have already submitted. Not I will submit later on. Not I will do later on when I find it easy. No. Whatever command that you give me, I will do it. Aslim, and he said, Aslamtu li Rabbil Alameen. And we learn from this ayah that Ibrahim alayhi salam's way was the way of submission to Allah. Because if you think of it logically as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Malik, He is our Khaliq. Anything that He tells us is going to be best for us. So submitting to His command is indeed intelligence. And there is no loss in submitting to the command of Allah. So Ibrahim a.s., he used his aql, he used his intellect. Allah is the one who made me. Whatever He tells me, it's good for me, so okay, fine, I'll do it. Aslim, qala aslamtu. He said, fine, I have submitted. And we see no delay, no hesitation, no reluctance, no doubts, no fears. Why? Because whatever my Rabb is going to tell me is that which is best for me. And we see Ibrahim alayhi salam's way, he lived throughout his life how? In submission to Allah. And this is the way that he taught to his children as well. وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ. Ibrahim alayhi salam and Yaqub alayhi salam, both of them, what did they do? They both told their children that follow the religion of Allah. يَا بَنِيَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ. They said, indeed Allah has chosen this deen for you. Not we have chosen this deen. Not we have made this up. No. Allah has given this privilege to you. Allah has given this honor to you. Be grateful for this privilege and this honor and this great blessing. How? By being obedient to Allah, for your entire lives, which is why they say فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Do not die except while you are in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what do we learn from this ayah? فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. What do we learn from this ayah? What do we have to do? لَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. We should always adhere to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because we don't know when we're going to die. We don't know when death is going to come to us. So we should be prepared. Because it's not possible that a person lives according to a certain way and then he dies in another way. No. A person dies on the way that he has lived on. A person dies on the same way that he has lived on. So in order to die as Muslims, what do we have to do? We have to live as Muslims. Many times we say we can do whatever we want, but I'll say the kalima when I'm dying. That's what many people say. That's what many people think. I'll do whatever I want to. When I'm older, then I will do Hajj. When I'm about to die on my deathbed, I will say the kalima. But there are so many people who on their deathbed, there are other people who are telling them, say the kalima, and they're not able to say it. Why? Because they didn't practice it in their lives.
Assalamu alaikum. I have a friend who's a paramedic. He works in Toronto, and he sees a lot of Muslim people who have been in accidents or they're having some kind of health emergencies. And he always asks them to say the shahada before they pass away. And a lot of them, people who've been in car accidents, like they've had some kind of brain damage or they have something repeating in their heads and that's all that they can say. So sometimes they can only sing whatever song they were listening to in the car or they're talking about their girlfriend or something and they can't help it. They just don't have the choice of what they want to say at that moment.
Exactly. You say at the last moments what you have lived on. How you have lived your entire life. لَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Only if we live as Muslims can we die as Muslims. In order to be able to say the kalima at the time of death, we have to live by the kalima throughout our lives. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَى إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. The Jews would say, we're not going to leave our religion because our forefathers, they told us to remain Jews. Allah questions them, were you witnesses when death approached Yaqub alayhi salam, meaning when he was about to die? What actually happened at that time? What did he say to his children? Did he say, remain Jews? No, he said, what will you worship after me? And what was their response? That we will worship your God and the God of your fathers, Ibrahim and Ismail and Ishaq. Who is he? One God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in other words, all of them said that they will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. And that وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ, and that they will submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Whereas we see that the Ahlul Kitab eventually, the Christians, what did they do? They began worshipping Isa alayhi salam. Similarly, the Yahud, what did they do? Were they in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. They made up so many things in their religion. They weren't really submitting to Allah. So over here, their claims are being refuted. And many times, we do certain things, and what do? We blame others for our actions. Isn't it so? We're doing this because of such and such person. But the fact is that we cannot blame other people for our actions. Allah says, تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ. That was a nation, the nation of the prophets, the ummah of the prophets. They have gone now. They have passed away. They will get what they earned, and you will get what you earned. So what do we learn from this ayah? Individual responsibility. Every person is individually responsible for their actions. We cannot blame our parents, we cannot blame our children, we cannot blame our friends, we cannot blame others. We should stop living on wishful thinking that, you know, I will be successful because of such and such. No. Be responsible for your actions. Because in dunya, The person is accountable for what he has done. وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ And you will not be questioned about what they used to do. Rather, you'll be questioned about what? About what? About what you used to do. So we don't have to look at other people's actions. What do we have to look at? My actions. What am I doing? What am I preparing for the Day of Judgment? Many times people say, my child, I'm trying to make him a hafiz. And they forget to recite the Quran themselves. Isn't it so? My child, I take him to the masjid every day. But many times, the same people are not particular with praying their own salah. وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ Instead, you will be questioned about what you used to do. What did the Yahud say and the Nasara say? وَقَالُوا كُونُوا هُدًا أَوْ نَصَارَ تَهْتَدُوا They say, be Jews or Christians, so you will be guided. Meaning, belong to this group, and then you will be guided. If you don't belong to our group, then you will not be guided. What does Allah say? بَلْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا Meaning, rather, you should follow the way of Ibrahim a.s. What was the way of Ibrahim a.s.? Of submission to Allah. And who was Ibrahim a.s.? He was first of all Hanif, and secondly, وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ He was Hanif. Who is Hanif? Hanif is someone who leaves everything and focuses only on the right way, on the obedience to Allah. It is also said that Hanafa is to incline towards something. What is it? It is to incline towards something, to lean onto one side. So Hanif is someone who inclines to worship, who inclines to ibadah. So he was someone who is Hanif. He was a person who was a pure monotheist. He did not do shirk. He was a person who inclined to the obedience of Allah, to worship of Allah. He was a person who left everything and everyone. Why? In order to focus on the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When his parents came in the way, did he stay there? No, he left that place. When anyone came in the way of obedience to Allah, what did he do? He left that and he stayed firm on obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because he was Hanif. And he was also وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ And he never associated any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is this mentioned over here? To emphasize, to make the point very clear that the correct way is the way of Tawheed. The correct way is the way of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُولُوا All of you say. Who is this addressed to? To the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all of the believers. All of you say. And it doesn't just mean that say by your tongue. It means declare, okay, say it, announce it, make this known publicly. But you should also do this. You should also believe in this. So say this by your tongues and also by your hearts. Believe in this and also declare this. Qulu, all of you say. What should you believe? What should you declare? That amanna billahi wa ma unzila ilayna. We believe in Allah and whatever that has been sent down upon us. What else do we believe in? وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ وَإِسْحَاقُ وَيَعْقُوبُ وَالْأَسْبَاطُ وَمَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى وَعِيسَى وَمَا أُوتِيَ النَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ So in other words, we believe in everything, in every book, in every miracle, in every commandment that was given to any messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe that all of these prophets were from who? From Allah. What they taught was from who? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Al-Hadid, ayah number 25, as I told you earlier, that لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُولَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا مَعْهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانِ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent messengers with clear evidences. And he sent down with them the scripture as well. Why? So that people can establish justice. They can follow that which is correct. So we believe in everything, in every miracle, in every command, in every scripture that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. لَا نُفَرِقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ We do not discriminate between any of them. Meaning, between any of the prophets. We believe in all of them. We believe in all of them. We believe that they were true. Whatever they said was from Allah. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ And we are to Him those who submit. Meaning, we submit only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this ayah is telling us, it is defining to us who Muslims are. Who are Muslims? That first of all, they believe in Allah. Secondly, they believe in the revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent. Which revelation? Any revelation that was given to any messenger. And finally, they believe in which revelation? وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا Whatever that has been sent to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through the Quran and also through the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we believe in all of that. And thirdly, that we are those who submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Notice, وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ Not وَنَحْنُ مُسْلِمُونَ لَهُ Grammatically, لَهُ can also come after مُسْلِمُونَ The meaning would be the same. However, when you bring لَهُ before مُسْلِمُونَ it gives the meaning of specification to لَهُ That we submit to who? Only to Him. None other than Him. The way of submission was the way of Ibrahim. And this is the way that we have been taught. That we must submit to Allah alone. So our deen tells us that believe in all of the messengers and also submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's listen to the recitation.
وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ وَلَقَدِ اصْطَفَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بَنِيَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُم مُّسْلِمُونَ أَمْ كُنتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتُ إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن بَعْدِي ما تعبدون من بعدي قالوا نعبد إلهك وإله آبائك إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق إلها واحدا ونحن له مسلمون تلك أمة قد خلت لها ما كسبت ولكم ما كسبتم ولا تسألون عما كانوا يعملون وقالوا كونوا هودا أو نصارى تهتدوا قل بل ملة إبراهيم حنيفا وما كان من المشركين قولوا آمنا بالله وما أنزل إلينا وما أنزل إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل وما أنزل إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط وَمَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى وَعِيسَى وَمَا أُوتِيَ النَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ
ذا Then Allah says, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا. Then, if they believed. Who believed? They over here refers to the Yahud, the Nasara, the Mushrikeen, the Jews, the Christians, the polytheists, and everyone else, every other person out there, every human being. If they believe, bimithli, with like. Bimithli over here gives meaning in the same as, just as, ma, that which, amantum bi, you have believed in. In other words, if the people believe in exactly the same thing that you believe in. Now the question is, who does you refer to? Amantum. You over here refers to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions. Why and the companions? Because amantum, this is plural. It's not amanta, it's amantum. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions. So if the people believe in the exact same way that you believe, meaning their iman is the same as your iman. What was the iman of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba? That which has been described in the previous verse. So if the people have the same iman, then Allah says, فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. Then they have obtained guidance. What does it mean? That if they don't have the same iman, they have not obtained guidance. So if a person disbelieves in even just one messenger only, if a person disbelieves in just Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is his iman complete? No. So over here Allah says, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. Then they have obtained guidance. And remember that اِهْتَدَى is from the root letters هَدَى الْيَا, and اِهْتِدَى is to receive guidance, to obtain guidance, to be on the right guidance. If they have the same iman as yours, then they're on the right way. So in other words, the criteria for guidance is what? The iman of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions. The criteria for guidance is what? The iman, the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions. The criteria for guidance is not merely in just affiliating oneself with a particular group, in giving oneself a title. No. It's about having the right way. It's about having the right iman. The Jews and the Christians, what did they do? They said, if you become a Jew, then you're rightly guided. If you become a Christian, then you're rightly guided. What do we say? If you become a Sunni, if you become a Shafi'i, if you become a Salafi, then you're rightly guided. What's the criteria that we're given over here? Who should we follow? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba. How did they understand the Quran? How did they implement the Quran? Not what my sheikh said. Not what that imam said. Yes, the shuyukh, the scholars of the past, they have done a lot of effort in trying to explain our religion to us. But if we find that a statement of a scholar, a fatwa of a scholar, contradicts the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, contradicts the way of the Sahaba, then what are we supposed to do? Leave it. All of the imams, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, what did they say? That if you find the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam contradicting my statement, throw my statement away. Follow who? Follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because that is a criteria for guidance. Not just giving yourself a title. Because all of us will be accountable for our own actions. We cannot blame other people. I did whatever the imam said. I did whatever the fatwa was given. Well, did you have access to all of this knowledge? Didn't you have access to this hadith which told you that you have to do such and such? We cannot blame other people. Criteria for guidance is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions. وَإِن تَوَلَّوْا, and if they turn away, Tawallaw is from the root letters Wawlam. Yeah. If they turn away from what? From having the same iman as yours. If they turn away from having the same iman as yours, meaning they don't believe in all of the prophets, they don't believe in the Quran, they don't submit to Allah. فَإِنَّمَا, then indeed not, but whom they are فِي شِقَاق, in a split. They are in disunion. They are in opposition. Who does they refer to? The Jews, the Christians, the Mushrikeen, everybody else. Anyone who turns away from the way of the Prophet ﷺ. The word shiqaq is from the root letters sheen, qaf, qaf. It is from the root letters sheen, qaf, qaf. The word shaq literally means to burst. What does it mean to burst? From this, the word shiqaq is used for a split, a division between something that is physical or between people. Because in differences, in opposition, what happens? Each person is in a shiq, he is in a group, other, different from the others. So when people split and they get divided into groups, what happens? There is opposition. There are differences. And the word shaqqa also gives a meaning of something being very difficult. It gives a meaning of something being very difficult. Mashaqqa, difficulty, hardship, is from the same root. And also shaq is used for the breaking or the splitting of those things which are very solid, which are very tough, which are very strong. What happens in opposition? What do people do? They try to make things difficult for each other, isn't it? They make life difficult for each other. So فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاق, then indeed they are in opposition, meaning they are only opposing you. They are opposing you for the sake of opposing you. They don't have any evidence. They don't have any solid basis. They don't have any solid ground. They're only opposing you. They're clearly hostile to you. فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاق. And also it has been said that shiqaq, it's the plural of the word shiqqa. The word shiqaq is the plural of the word shiqqa. And shiqqa is used for a piece, a broken away piece of something. And when it is used for a group of people, it is used for that party, that group, which is not with the truth, which is not upon the truth. So فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاق, then indeed they are in opposition, meaning they are opposing you and they are not upon the truth. Which is why it has been said that shiqaq over here gives a meaning of ضَلَال, misguidance. So فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاق, what are the two meanings? That first of all, they're merely opposing you. They have no solid ground. They have no solid evidence to stand upon. Because the truth has been established. If they leave your way, then they're opposing you. Secondly, it has been said that فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاق, شِقَاق over here gives meaning of ضَلَال. They are in misguidance. Why? Because they are turning away from what? From the truth, from the way of the Prophet ﷺ, from the way of the Sahaba, which is the criteria for guidance. And if someone turns away from that, obviously he is going to be in misguidance. فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاق. Now when a person learns that someone is in opposition to him, and someone agrees with them, or they know the truth, but they're still opposing you, how do you feel? How do you feel? Just the fact that somebody is opposing you, somebody is hostile to you, how do you feel? Threatened, don't you? You feel worried, concerned, anxious. What's going to happen? They're opposing me. They're against me. They're anti-me. So what happens? What happens? You become scared. You become worried. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah is sufficient for you against them. Allah will be enough for you against them. He will take care of you. He will suffice you. The word فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمْ فَ means so. Meaning, despite their opposition, let them oppose you. But know that سَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهِ Allah will be enough for you against them. Then there is seen in the word فَسَيَكْفِيكَ فَ is so. Sa, seen, gives a meaning of soon. And remember that when this sa, it comes before a fi'l, it comes before a verb. Which verb? The verb that gives the meaning of either the present tense or the future tense. See the word yakfi, it begins with ya. Remember, that's a sign of a verb that is either present or future. But when this verb, it is preceded by a seen, like over here you see, then this seen gives the meaning of future tense. Not present, but future. And it conveys two more meanings. It promises two things. First of all, it promises the certainty of what is going to happen. So over here, سَيَكْفِيكَ, meaning certainly, it's a promise of Allah that He will suffice you against them. Okay, so first of all, it promises the certainty of the verb that is going to occur. And secondly, it also indicates the closeness, the nearness of the verb, meaning how quickly, how very soon it's going to occur. So, فَسَيَكْفِيكَ, certainly, it's a promise that Allah will suffice you against them. And know that very soon as they harm you, as soon as they try to hurt you, Allah will be enough for you. Allah will save you from them. فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمْ. And the word yakfi, the verb yakfi, is from the root letters كَفَيَ. It is from the root letters كَفَيَ. Yakfi, what does yakfi mean? It is enough. He is enough. Kifaya is basically when something is enough, when something is sufficient, or someone is sufficient, when someone is enough, that nothing else is needed after that. Nothing else is needed after that. Because all of the needs are fulfilled. So let's say, if someone's help is kifaya, is kafi, what does that mean? That you don't need the help of anybody else. Right? So yakfi, meaning he will be enough for you, he will be sufficient for you, such that you don't need the help of anybody else. Yakfi ka, meaning he will be enough for you. Against who? Against whom? Against them. So Allah will be enough to protect you, to save you from who? From your opponents. From the opposition of these people. فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهِ. So in other words, Allah will deal with them. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And He is the always all hearing, the always all knowing. Now notice over here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He will protect you. He will save you. He will be enough for you against these people who oppose you. But the names of Allah that are mentioned over here are As-Sami' and Al-Alim. What would you think? That in this context, what names of Allah come to your mind? Al-Aziz, the one who is mighty. Al-Qawi, the one who is strong. Al-Qadir, the one who is able to take revenge, to save, to protect. How come these names of Allah have been mentioned? As-Sami' and Al-Alim. Basically, if you think about it, when someone opposes the other, how does he oppose him? How does he oppose him? Either verbally, through words, or through actions. And many times the opposition is hidden at the beginning. Isn't it? The opposition is hidden at the beginning. The opponent doesn't openly go out and say things against another. Similarly, he doesn't openly go out and do something against the other. For example, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the Yehud who lived within Medina, they didn't actively openly say things out against him at the beginning, initially. Similarly, they didn't do things against him openly at the initial stage. So at the initial stage even, Allah hears what they're saying and Allah knows what they're doing. Even if their statements and their actions, all of their activities which are against you, are hidden, He knows. He is watching every single one of them. He is hearing all of their statements. Allah is enough for you. Allah is enough to protect you. And eventually when they do express their hostility, their opposition, and when they openly oppose you, even then, Allah is enough for you. فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ. So in other words, the Prophet ﷺ is being told over here that you keep doing what you're supposed to do. You keep telling the people about the truth. Don't fear them. Don't fear any harm from your opponents. Because many times what happens, when you're telling people about something, and there's just one person who doesn't accept what you're telling them, what happens? You become so conscious. You become so worried, isn't it? And all of your mind and your attention is going towards them. What if they say this? And what if they do this? So the Prophet ﷺ is being told, don't worry about these people. Keep doing what you're supposed to do. Keep stating the truth. And Allah will be enough for you. And we see that the history is a witness to this fact. People tried so much to stop the Prophet ﷺ. To kill him even. You know, they tried saying so many things against him. But we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was always enough for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the one who made him successful. So what do we learn from this ayah? First of all, we learn that anyone who opposes the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba is not rightly guided. Anyone who opposes the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba in any way, he opposes their way in any way, then he is not rightly guided. Whether it is in performing the wudu, or it is in performing the salah, if we leave the way of the Prophet and the Sahaba, what are we doing? We're heading towards balal. Because the criteria of guidance is their way. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. Then also we learn that their way was the way of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that was also the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The way of submitting to Allah, not the way of affiliating oneself with a particular group or sect. We learn in Surah Ali Imran, ayah number 67, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Ibrahim a.s. was neither a Jew nor a Christian, but he was one inclining toward truth, a Muslim submitting to Allah, and he was not of the polytheists. So we learn from this ayah that we, our criteria must be the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba, not a particular group, not any other person, not any other imam. Our way should be the way of the Prophet and the Sahaba. Also, another very important lesson that we learn from this ayah is that we must rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must have tawakkul on Allah. Especially when we're calling others to the way of Allah. Because it's the way, it's the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning we're working for Him, and He is the one who will protect us. He is the one who will help us. He is the one who will enable us to be successful. If it is something small as trying to learn the deen of Allah even, who should we rely upon? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because remember, it's not within our hands. We are human beings. We are weak. We're very limited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives us the ability to do something, who makes us successful in what we want to achieve, in what we want to do. So no matter what you're doing, who should you rely on? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah says, صِبْغَةَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ الصِّبْغَةَ وَنَحْنُ لَهُ عَابِدُونَ صِبْغَةَ اللَّهِ, the religion of Allah, the color of Allah. And who is better than Allah in صِبْغَة, in coloring. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ عَابِدُونَ, and we are worshippers of Him. صِبْغَة. صِبْغَة is from the root letters صَاد بَا غَيْن. It is from the root letters صَاد بَا غَيْن. And the word صِبْغَة is used for a color, shade, not shade as in shadow, but like the shade, the color, the shade of a particular color, a dye. Like, you know how you dye something in a particular color? So it is used for a dye. It is used for, you know, a particular tinge of a color. So basically, صِبْغَة is used for color. But what kind of color? صِبْغَة, because earlier we read the word لَوْن as well. The Bani Israel, they said, مَا لَوْنُهَا, what's the color of the cow? There is a difference between لَوْن and صِبْغَة. لَوْن is the original color of something. It is the natural color of something. The color that something is born with. So for example, a cow, the natural color is whatever the cow was born with, either brown or white or black or spotted, whatever. That is what loun is. But صِبْغَة is a color that is colored on something, that something is dyed with. So صِبْغَة is not original color, but it is colored upon someone. This is the meaning of the word صِبْغَة. For example, you have a garment that is white. It is plain, very boring. What do? You dye it. You make it colorful. You put a nice blue color on it, or a nice red color on it, or different shades of colors. So the same garment that was very boring and plain and white, what did you do? You put color on it and you made it nice and bright. Right? So this is what صِبْغَة is, the color that is put onto something to enhance the beauty. The color that is put onto something in order to enhance the beauty. Because you could leave it in its original color. But when you add more color to it, the thing becomes more beautiful. It becomes more attractive. Right? From this, the word صِبْغَة is also used for an attribute that a person adopts, a certain quality that a person adopts, a particular activity or a role that a person takes upon himself, that a person engages into. Why? Because when a person adopts a particular quality or adopts a particular characteristic, or he begins to do a particular action, then what happens? That particular activity, that particular action, that characteristic, that quality is something that is further enhancing him, right? It is beautifying him more. And it becomes a way of identifying him as well. So the word صِبْغَة is primarily used for color, and then it is also used for an attribute that a person adopts. Over here Allah says, صِبْغَةَ اللَّهِ, the color of Allah. What does it mean by صِبْغَة of Allah? Color over here indicates deen, religion. What does it indicate? Deen, religion. So صِبْغَةَ اللَّهِ meaning religion of Allah. Now if you notice over here the sentence, it just says color of Allah. What about the color of Allah? What about the religion of Allah? What is implied is that take upon yourself the color of Allah. Take upon yourself the religion of Allah. Follow what? The religion of Allah. Now the question is, why isn't the verb take said over here? How come? Because in the Arabic language, and also in many other languages, even the languages that we speak, when you want to tell someone to do something, and when you want to show urgency, when you want to show the importance, then what do? you omit the verb, isn't it? For example, if you're very thirsty and you want water, what are you going to say? Can you please bring me some water? No. What are you going to say? Just water. Similarly, if people are making a lot of noise and you want them to be quiet, are you going to say, could you please all become quiet? What would you say? Quiet. Right? So similarly, over here, when Allah says, Sibghatullah, meaning, take on the color of Allah. Adhere to the religion of Allah. So we have been over here strongly encouraged to take upon the Sibgha of Allah. To take upon the religion of Allah. Sibghatullah. Why is it called color of Allah, religion of Allah? Because it is from Him. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the question is, why is the deen called Sibgha? Why isn't it simply stated, deen Allah, religion of Allah? Why Sibghat Allah? Why is the deen called Sibgha? Why? Why do you think so? What comes to your mind? The color that a person is wearing, the color that a person puts on himself, what happens? It becomes a way of his identification. It's a way of identifying him. It's a part of his identity. Because the color is the highlight. The color is what is attracting the people. The color is what is very visible. Isn't it so? For example, many times you have so many jars and you distinguish them, how? By the color of the lid. So what are you going to do? Are you going to open each and every jar and see, okay, what's inside? No. You're just going to look at the color, and that color is the distinguishing feature. Because the color is that which is visible. So the deen of Allah has been called color of Allah. It has been called Sibghat Allah. Why? Because the deen becomes visible upon a person when he follows the deen. The deen becomes visible when a person truly follows the deen. When a person does not follow the deen, then the color, then the deen is not visible. When a person becomes a believer, when he begins to implement the deen upon himself, what happens? Their lifestyle, their way of talking, their way of greeting others, their way of eating, their diet, similarly, their practices, their clothing, all of this, it changes. It fits a particular mold. And what is that mold? The mold that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. When a person truly follows the deen of Allah, then you can see the deen of Allah upon him. It becomes visible. In the way that he talks, he will not use swear words. He will mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. In the way that he dresses, he will dress in the way that Allah likes him to dress, him or her to dress. Similarly, in the way that a person deals with others, the way a person deals with his parents, the way a person deals with, you know, his employer or friends, how will he do that? In the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. Similarly, in a person's finances, what is he going to do? He's going to do only that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approves of. In the kind of work that he does, in the way that he sleeps, everything changes. Everything fits the criteria that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. So the deen has been called Sibgha. Why? Because a person visibly looks like a believer. He clearly looks like a Muslim. Many times we try to hide our identity as a Muslim. Isn't it so? But what does Allah tell us? Take on the color of Allah. Meaning look like a believer as well. Don't just say that you're a believer in your heart. No. You should walk like a believer, talk like a believer, eat like a believer, sleep like a believer, behave like a believer. You should look like a believer. The color of Allah, the deen of Allah, should be visible upon you. And the effect of the deen of Allah on a person is so much that a person's face looks completely different. His expressions, I mean, the looks change within moments. When a person is an unbeliever and when he takes on the shahada, when he says the shahada, you see a difference on the face. Similarly, a person who is truly following the deen of Allah, you know, you can tell from their face. And a person who is not, you can tell from their face. So the deen of Allah has been called Sibgha of Allah. Why? Because just as Sibgha is visible, similarly the deen of a person should also be visible. It should become a part of his personality. A person should look like a believer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 208, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً. O you who have believed, enter into Islam completely and perfectly. Enter into Islam completely and perfectly. Don't just say your faith is in your heart, or your faith is just at home. No, your faith is on you, visible upon you, no matter where you go, no matter where you are. Don't try to hide this deen that Allah has given. It should be visible. It's a part of your personality. It's your identity. This is what identifies you. This is one reason as to why the deen of Allah has been called Sibgha of Allah. Another reason has been given, and that is that just as the color that is dyed upon something becomes a part of that garment or that particular wall or whatever, it becomes a part of it, meaning it is stuck to it, it doesn't come off. Similarly, the deen of the person also becomes or should become a part of him. It shouldn't be something that is temporary. You know, sometimes you get a stain on your clothes, and for example, you're cooking and you're using turmeric or something, and that falls upon your clothes. And sometimes you try to wash, you try to bleach, you know, you try so many things, but what happens? That color does not come off. It's like a permanent mark. It doesn't come off. So similarly, when a person adopts the deen of Allah, what should happen? No matter what he goes through, he must not leave the deen of Allah. He must not leave the deen of Allah. Sibghat Allah, meaning take on yourselves the color of Allah. Take on yourselves the deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Now remember that sibgha over here does not refer to, you know, any particular color, because some people think that, you know, green or black, a color of Islam. Many times people think that. So for example, if I'm supposed to wear my hijab, it has to be black. Or for example, if I'm being religious, then I should wear only black, or I should wear only green. Or a masjid should only be green and should always be green. Right? There is no such thing like that in our religion. Okay? The color of Allah does not refer to any particular color. Color over here refers to deen of Allah. Sibghat Allah. Take on the deen of Allah. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ صِبْغَةً. And who is better than Allah in coloring? Meaning, whose color is better? Whose color is better than Allah's? Whose religion is better than Allah's? What's the answer? No one. The color of Allah, the religion of Allah, is indeed the best religion. It is indeed the best way. So we learn from this that Allah's way, Allah's deen, is the best. Why is it the best? How is it the best? First of all, because the deen of Allah is complete. The deen of Allah is complete. Allah tells us in Surah Al-Ba'idah, ayah number 3, أَلْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. This day I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you. This day I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you and have approved for you Islam as religion. So what does it show us? That the deen is complete. There is nothing of the deen that is incomplete. It is also complete in another way, that the deen of Allah guides us with regards to every single aspect of our lives. How to dress, how to talk, how to eat, how to use a bathroom, how to travel, how to worship. The deen of Allah is best because it is complete. It guides us with regards to every aspect of our lives. Then also the deen of Allah is best. Why? Why do you think? Why is it the best? What comes to your mind? Why is the deen of Allah the best? Because it is from Allah. صِبْغَةَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ صِبْغَةً. So whose deen is it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who is Allah? The Malik, the Khaliq of the entire creation. It's not from the creation itself. No human being has made up this deen. This deen is from Allah. And because it is from Allah, who is the one who is most knowledgeable, therefore, this deen is the best. Why else is this deen the best? وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ صِبْغَةً. Why else? How? I'm asking you. It's not a rhetorical question. Because it's easy, it's practical, it's doable, it's not impossible. For example, in other faiths, just as a comparison, when a person dies, what do they do with the dead body? In some faiths, they burn. In other faiths, what do they do? I remember I watched this documentary once on National Geographic in which, I don't remember the exact place, but the dead body is preserved for over a year and it's kept in the house until the family has enough money to throw a feast and then have the burial. But the deen of Allah teaches us what? When a person dies, do his ghusl, pray for him, put him under the ground. Simple, doable. Anybody can do it who's living in the 21st century or was living in the 15th, who's living today. It's doable. It's practical. Similarly, when a person becomes religious, he's not told to leave his family. He's not told to leave his dunya. No. What is he supposed to do? He's still supposed to stay connected with his family. He's still supposed to provide for his family, earn for his family. This deen is the most practical deen. Religiosity in our deen is not abandoning everything and going and living in the mountains. No. It's about living within people, doing things that normal people do, and still worshipping Allah. Similarly, when it comes to spending in the way of Allah, for example, zakat, how much is it? 50%? 10%? No. 2.5%. The deen of Allah is yusr, which is why it is the best deen. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ صِبْغَةً. This deen is the best because it has solid evidence. We have our texts that are preserved, that are free from any changes, any alterations. It fulfills the needs of people. There is wisdom behind all the actions, all the commands. And the deen of Allah is based on benefit for the human being. Benefit for the human being. And also removing anything that causes harm to the human beings or the human society. For example, if there is punishment for theft, why is it so? So that people don't commit theft? People don't steal? Because if people steal, who's going to suffer? Other people are going to suffer. So the deen of Allah is based on masalih, meaning on benefits for the human beings, and also deen of Allah is based on removing anything that causes harm. So over here Allah tells us, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ صِبْغَةً. Who could be better than Allah in ordaining religion? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you to do this. So therefore, take on the sibgha of Allah. The most beautiful way, the best way, is the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, is the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us. Many times we think that since we're studying the Quran, it's as if we cannot do this and we have to do this. It's like we're being put in a box. We're being put in something that is enclosed and we're becoming limited. The thing is that if we're not put in this box, if we're not put in that particular mold, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? We're going to harm ourselves and we're going to harm other people. Human beings have been given free will. They have been given choice. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us as to how to use this choice so that we don't hurt ourselves and we don't hurt others either. We don't hurt our dunya or akhirah, and we are not a cause of harming other people either. So the deen of Allah is the way that teaches us, that tells us how to live in the best way, so that we're successful, we're happy, we're content, we're at peace of mind in this dunya and also in the akhirah. For example, one thing that we have learned is something very important, that we must stop complaining. We must be grateful. If a person does this, is he making himself happy? Is he making himself happy? Of course he is. Is he making other people happy? Of course he is. And if a person is complaining, what is he doing? He's making himself negative, and he's spreading negativity as well. So the deen of Allah is the best way to live, because it's the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us. It's the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us to. So never think that this deen of Allah is, you know, making life difficult for you. It's not making life difficult for you. It's making your life purposeful, successful. Everything comes with a manual, and our manual is the deen of Allah, the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. If something is used without taking guidance from the manual, what's going to happen to that thing? What's going to happen to that thing? It's going to get destroyed, and sometimes you could also get hurt very badly. You could get hurt very badly. For example, if a person does not use a pressure cooker the right way, it could explode. It could literally explode. Whose fault is it? He didn't use the manual. Similarly, when we don't follow the deen of Allah, what are we doing? We're harming ourselves, we're harming others. So the deen of Allah is the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us to. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ عَابِدُونَ, and we are for Him ones who worship. Meaning we worship only Allah. لَهُ عَابِدُونَ. Notice the word لَهُ. Again, it comes before عَابِدُونَ. It's not وَنَحْنُ عَابِدُونَ لَهُ. If it was coming after عَابِدُونَ, then it would just mean we are those who worship Him. Okay, خلاص. But when you say لَهُ before عَابِدُونَ, it means we worship only Him. Specifically Him, none but Him. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ عَابِدُونَ. He is the only one who deserves our ibadah. The word عَابِدُونَ is a plural of عَابِد. And who is عَابِد? One who worships Allah. And what is worship? To show humility to Allah. التَذَلُّ لِلَّهِ. To show humility to Allah. How does a person show humility to Allah? By doing what Allah has commanded, and by staying away from what Allah has forbidden. Why? Out of respect for Allah, out of love of Allah, out of fear of Allah. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ عَابِدُونَ. And we worship only Him. So adopting the color of Allah, adopting the sibgha of Allah, what does it mean? What does it mean? To become the slave of Allah. Adopting the sibgha of Allah means to become a slave of Allah. It means to worship only Allah. It means to submit our will only to Allah. To mold our personality according to His will, according to His guidance. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ عَابِدُونَ. What do we learn from this ayah? First of all, Allah says, صِبْغَةَ اللَّهِ. Take on the صِبْغَةَ of Allah. What do we learn from this? Be proud of your deen. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to conceal it. فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah will be enough for you. Allah will protect you. Iman is something that becomes visible. It's not something that is just kept in the heart. When a person truly adopts the deen of Allah, it becomes visible on him. It becomes a way of identifying him. It becomes a part of his personality. What else do we learn? Something very important. It is mandatory upon us to take on the sibgha of Allah. Because Allah says, sibghat Allah. He doesn't say, khudu sibghat Allah. The verb is not mentioned. Why? To show the urgency and the importance of this command. Just as when somebody really wants water, what do they say? Just water. When they want you to be quiet, they say, quiet. They don't use any extra words. The way that Allah tells us, sibghat Allah, what does that show? That it is mandatory upon us to take upon ourselves the deen of Allah. Also we learn from this ayah, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ صِبْغَةً. What do we learn from this? وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ صِبْغَةً. That everything we do must be for Allah. But what do we learn from this particular part of the ayah? وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ صِبْغَةً. That the best way is the way of Allah. The best deen is the deen of Allah. The best way of life is the way of life that Allah has taught us. Then Allah says, قُلْ أَتُحَاجُّونَنَا فِي اللَّهِ. Say, that you argue with us about Allah. وَهُوَ رَبُّنَا وَرَبُّكُمْ. While He is our Lord and your Lord. وَلَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. For us are our deeds, and for you are your deeds. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُخْلِصُونَ. And we are sincere in deed and intention to Him. قُلْ. This address is to the Prophet ﷺ, first of all. Let's say to the people, which people? Those who are in shiqaq, those who are opposing you, just for the sake of opposing you. The truth is established, yet they don't accept it. Say to them, أَتُحَاجُّونَنَا فِي اللَّهِ. Are you arguing with us concerning Allah? تُحَاجُّونَنَا is from the root letters Ha, Jeem, Jeem. Ha, Jeem, Jeem. Hajja. Hajja literally means to intend. To intend to a certain target. What does it mean? To intend to a certain target. To aim at a particular target. From the same root is the word Hajj, which is used for pilgrimage. Why? Because a person intends to take upon a particular journey and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at specific places, at specific times. Then when you change the word hajjah to hajjah, like over here, tuhajjunana, what do you see over here? An additional alif. It gives a meaning of arguing or disputing, fighting with others, contradicting others. And in particular, it is used for such argument in which one person offers an evidence. Why? In order to negate the other. And what does the other do? He offers an evidence, a proof. Why? In order to negate the other person. So are you disputing with us? Are you arguing with us? Are you debating with us? فِيلَّهِ concerning Allah? What does it mean by فِيلَّهِ? Meaning فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ, concerning the deen of Allah. Your whole dispute with us is concerning what? Concerning the deen that Allah has given us. Who is being addressed over here? Who is being questioned over here? The Jews and the Christians. And then after them, anyone who disputes with regards to the deen of Allah, he is addressed. وَهُوَ رَبُّنَا وَرَبُّكُمْ. And He is our Lord and your Lord. Meaning He is the one who gave this deen to us. And He's not just our Lord, He's also your Lord. So it's not just mandatory upon us to follow the deen of Allah. It's also your responsibility to do the same. وَلَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. And for us are our deeds, and for you are your deeds. أَعْمَال is a plural of عَمَل. And what does عَمَل mean? Deed, action. And generally it is used for an action that is deliberate, an action that is intended. The word عَمَل is also used for an achievement. So lana a'maluna, for us are our achievements, our actions, our deeds. Walakum a'malukum, and for you are your deeds. What does it mean? That we will be recompensed for our actions, you will be recompensed for yours. Wa nahnu lahu mukhlisun, and we are sincere to Him alone. Again you see, نَحْنُ لَهُ مُخْلِصُونَ. Not نَحْنُ مُخْلِصُونَ لَهُ. Only to him. مُخْلِصُونَ is the plural of the word مُخْلِص. And مُخْلِص. You see the word begins with ميم. What does that indicate? It's a noun that is doing an action over here in particular. مُخْلِص is one who has إِخْلَاص. One who has إِخْلَاص. And إِخْلَاص, مُخْلِص, is from the root letters خَا لَام صَاد. What does that mean? To purify something from every possible mixture. When something is completely pure, unmixed, it has no mixture in it. Nothing at all is mixed in it. Neither something small, nor something big. Neither something very subtle, nor something very obvious. It is crystal clear, completely pure. Nothing is mixed in it. Which is why the word ikhlas is used for sincerity. Why? Because when a person does something sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does it mean? He's not doing it with the intention of getting the praise of others, getting the approval of others. He is doing it exclusively for the sake of Allah, only to get His approval and reward. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُخْلِصُونَ. Now, why is this ayah placed over here? What do we learn in this ayah? When a person adopts the deen of Allah, when he takes on the color of Allah, when the deen becomes a part of his life, then what happens? People begin to see the change in him. Isn't it so? And when people see the change in him, sometimes they cannot tolerate it. Sometimes they cannot accept it. And what do? They begin arguing and disputing with the person who is trying to follow the deen of Allah. And sometimes such arguments are completely irrelevant. For example, you wear the hijab when you go to a party, and the women over there, when they see you, they start questioning you about, you know, what do you say about polygamy in Islam? Why are you asking me that? What do you say about that, you know, particular, you know, Muslim who did that? I mean, I have nothing to do with him. He's not my relative. So sometimes the accusations of people or the questions of people are completely irrelevant. What should our response be? أَتُحَاجُّونَنَا فِي اللَّهِ, concerning the deen of Allah? وَهُوَ رَبُّنَا وَرَبُّكُمْ. For us are our deeds, for you are your deeds. There is no need to argue. This Quran, this deen is not just for us, it's also for you. Why are you asking me? You know, this is the deen of Allah, which is not just for me, it is also for you. You should also study. So when a person tries to become loyal to Allah, what happens? People start objecting. So what do we learn from this ayah? That we should be confident about our deen. We should be confident about our deen. Similarly, when people start arguing with us concerning deen, what should we do? Never pursue that dispute. Never pursue that dispute. Because once we begin to pursue that dispute, what happens? Continues. Isn't it? We say, oh, it is allowed because of this reason and that reason. And you give them a list of reasons. What are they going to do? They're going to start asking you about something else. Objecting to you about something else. And it's going to continue. So never ever pursue such disputes. So we learn three things from this ayah. First of all, that we should not dispute concerning the deen. Secondly, we should know that we are responsible for our actions. لَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. For us are our actions, we are responsible for them, and other people are responsible for their actions. And thirdly, that we should be sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You see, it's very strange that people have made deen as if it is a problem. Wherever they see religious people, any religious activity, any religious organization, so how do they react? They behave either suspicious or blaming or disputing or even when they ask people about religion, they don't ask for something to help increase their iman or improve their actions or improve their state of sincerity. They start asking, for example, fiqh questions. And in our language, they call it masla. The moment they see you, they start asking you problems. And then those who have interest, they have made their attitude towards deen is either deen is a problem solving thing or deen is the matter of arguments and discussions. So many people who are not sincere in deen, they take deen as a topic of discussion only. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that everyone should understand that deen is not for hujjat or arguments, and one should not blame other that why is that person a religious person. And what's the people's problem if I am covering or if I am praying? Why are they worried? And if I am teaching Quran, why are they worried? What's their problem? أَتُحَجُّونَنَا فِي اللَّهِ? Because I am teaching deen. If I was teaching science, no one cared. Everyone was happy. You think it's only my problem? It's your problem too. Because هُوَ رَبُّنَا وَرَبُّكُمْ. If I am doing this thing, you should also do this. If I am doing dawah, you should do dawah. If I am praying, you should pray. If I am covering, you should cover. If I am doing anything in the name of Allah or for the sake of Allah, you should also be part of it. Don't be divided in the name of deen. Deen has come to unite people, not to divide them. And this is us who have divided people in the name of religion, which is wrong. And the most important thing is that we should be sincere, mukhlis.
أم تقولون إن إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط? Or do you say that Ibrahim and Ismail and Ishaq and Yaqub alayhim as-salam and the descendants كانوا هودا أو نصارى? They were Jews or Christians? أم تقولون? The Jews and the Christians are being reproached over here. Meaning, why won't you take on the sibgha of Allah? Why won't you adopt the way of monotheism? Is it because you're saying that indeed all of these prophets, they were Jews or Christians? Because the Jews would say that all of these prophets were Jews, and the Christians would say that all of them were Christians. But what does Allah say? Allah tells us in Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 67, مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Ibrahim a.s. was neither a Jew nor a Christian, but he was one inclining toward truth, a Muslim submitting to Allah, and he was not of the polytheists. Similarly, they would say about the other prophets that they were, not just Ibrahim a.s., but other prophets, that they were Jews or Christians. Allah tells them in Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 65, يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لِمَ تُحَاجُّونَ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمِ وَمَا أُنزِلَتِ التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلُ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ? O people of scripture, why do you argue about Ibrahim a.s.? Because the Jews would say, he was a Jew. The Christians would say, he was a Christian. So they are told, why do you argue about the matter of Ibrahim a.s.? While the Torah and the Injil were not revealed until after him. How could he possibly be a Jew? How could he possibly be a Christian? Will you not reason? So we learned that the Torah and the Injil were revealed much after Ibrahim alayhi salam, after all of these prophets. So how could they be Jews or Christians? They were Muslim. These messengers were Muslim. They submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of these names, these titles, being a Jew, being a Christian, they came up much later on. This is just like a person saying today that the Prophet ﷺ was a Sunni, or he was a Shia, or he was a Hanbali. Whereas Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he came much after the Prophet ﷺ. Who was Prophet ﷺ? He was a Muslim. قُلْ سَيْ أَأَنْتُمْ أَعْلَمُ أَمِ اللَّهِ? Do you know better? Do you know more? Or is it Allah who knows more? Do you have more knowledge? Or does Allah have more knowledge?
Do you have greater knowledge or does Allah have greater knowledge? Who is more truthful, you or Allah? And in response to this question, they are left with only one of two answers. One, they could say that we are right, and that would imply that Allah is wrong, and that is completely unacceptable. The other option is that they say that Allah knows more. Then obviously, what would the result be? That why don't you accept the fact that you should also be a Muslim? So if anybody objects to the commands of Allah, what should our response be? If anyone argues about the commands of Allah, what should our response be? We should give them a list of benefits and all of these things? No, what should we say? أَأَنْتُمْ أَعْلَمُ أَمِ اللَّهِ. Who knows more and better? You are Allah. If Allah is the one who gave this command, if Allah is the one who gave this instruction, He knows what He has commanded. And He knows why He has commanded. He knows the wisdom behind this command. Should He not know, the one who is the Creator, the one who knows everything? In Surah Al-Mulk, Ayah 14, we learn, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Does He who created not know? The one who created, does He not know? Of course He knows. And He is a subtle, the acquainted. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything, and we cannot say that our knowledge is more. If Allah has told us something, we should accept it. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ كَتَمَ شَهَادَةً عِنْدَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. And who is more unjust than the one who concealed a testimony that he has from Allah? وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ. أَظْلَمُ is different from ظَالِم. ظَالِم is just one who does ظُلْم. And أَظْلَم is one who is more unjust. The one who is most unjust. Just as we read earlier, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّمْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ. Now remember, in the Quran we see many places Allah says, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ. It doesn't mean that this person is, or doing this particular action is one that is most unjust. But what it means is that this is the height of injustice. This is the height of ظلم. This is something completely unacceptable. So this statement does not contradict the other statement. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ. So who is another person who is very unjust? What is another example of the height of injustice? مِمَّنْ, the one who كَتَمَ شَهَادَةً. كَتَمَ is from the root letters كَافْ تَعْمِيمْ. كِتْمَان is to hide, to conceal something. So what is he concealing? He is concealing a shahada, a testimony. Shahada is from the root letters شِنْهَادَ. Which shahada? Which evidence? Which witness? عِنْدَهُ, that this person has مِنَ اللَّهِ, from Allah. So this person has a shahada from Allah, and what is he doing? He is hiding it. Hiding it from who? Hiding it from the people. Now the question is, which testimony is this referring to? First of all, it has been said that this shahada, this testimony refers to the description of the Prophet ﷺ in the scripture of the Ahlul Kitab, of the people of the book. Because in the Torah and the Injil, the Prophet ﷺ has been mentioned clearly. But what did they do? They concealed the description. They hid it. They didn't tell people about it. Especially when the Prophet ﷺ came. They didn't say, yes, he is the Prophet and this is exactly what the book says. No. They pretended as if it didn't exist. As we read earlier, كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, as if they don't even know that it exists in their books. So when a person does this, especially in the context of the Jews and the Christians, what did they do? They hid the description of the Prophet ﷺ. So this action is the height of injustice. How is it the height of injustice? Because this prevented so many people from believing in the Prophet ﷺ, because they hid the shahada. Secondly, it has been said that this shahada, this testimony, refers to the shahada that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. As we learn in Surah Ali Imran, ayah 18, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Allah witnesses that there is no deity except Him, and so do the angels and those people who have knowledge. So what do we learn in this ayah? What do we learn in this ayah? That the shahada is what? The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. What did the people of Book do? What did they do? They call themselves the Ahlul Kitab, people of knowledge. And what should they have done? They should have said that Allah is one, not Allah is three, not that Allah has a child. The Jews said, Uzairun ibn Allah. The Nasara said, Isa alayhi salam is the son of Allah. So by ascribing partners to Allah, by ascribing children to Allah, what were they doing? They were going against this shahada. Similarly, in their books, the description of the Prophet ﷺ was given. When they saw the Prophet ﷺ, they should have accepted him. They should have believed in him. And they should have told others about the Prophet ﷺ as well. But what did they do? They hid the shahada. And their hiding the shahada makes them worst of criminals. Very unjust people. Because this injustice is against themselves, against mankind, and against the deen of Allah, against the right of Allah. By hiding the shahada, they're not just harming themselves, they're harming hundreds and thousands of people. They're harming the deen of Allah. What does Allah say? وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِرٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah is not at all unaware of what you do. Allah is not at all unaware of what you do. Meaning He is very well aware of all that you're doing. The word غافل is from the root letters غين فا لام. And what does غفلة mean? To neglect something. To not pay attention to it. To ignore. To be unaware. So He's not unaware. He's not negligent. If He's not punishing you right now, what does this show? That there is threat of punishment for such people. So what do we learn from this ayah? What do we learn from this ayah? Hiding knowledge. Is that something good? No. It has great consequences. It's a great injustice. Because knowledge is something that is of benefit to people. Knowledge is something that is of benefit to people. And if we hide knowledge, if we conceal knowledge, what are we doing? We're depriving other people from benefit. It could be a simple thing. For example, cooking a particular kind of food. But people are very secretive about, you know, their ingredients and their recipes. But when we do this, what are we doing? We're depriving other people of the benefit that we're enjoying. And especially when it comes to the knowledge of deen, then hiding that knowledge is extremely dangerous. Also, we learn from this ayah that when a person sees the truth, when he recognizes the truth, what should he do? He should accept it. What did the people of the book do? They just concealed it. They hid it. They pretended as if it didn't exist. And a person should also make it known to others. A person should also spread the truth to others. Sometimes we benefit from something. For example, we're benefiting from the Quran. But we become so selfish that we only keep this benefit to ourselves. And we don't take it to others. We don't benefit others. So when a person sees the truth, when he recognizes the truth, he should accept it and he should also spread it. He should also give it to others. He should also pass it on. Tilka ummatun, that is a nation, qad khalat, which has passed on. Which ummah? Of Ibrahim, Ismail, Ishaq, Yaqub, Asbaq. All of these prophets, they have passed away. They have gone. Their time is over. Laha ma kasabat, for that particular ummah, they will have the consequences of what they earned. وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ, and for you is what you have earned. You will get the consequences of what you have earned. They will get the reward for what they did, and you will get for what you do. Their efforts will not benefit you. What's going to benefit you? What you do. وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, and you will not be questioned about what they used to do. We're not responsible for others. We are responsible for ourselves. On the Day of Judgment, we will be asked about what we did, not about what other people did. For example, on the Day of Judgment, we will be asked about our age, our youth, our time, our wealth, our knowledge. What did we do with these things? Not what other people did with their things. Allah tells us in Surah At-Takathur, Ayah 8, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ, then you will surely be asked that day about pleasures that you enjoyed. In dunya, what do we focus on? Our attention is on the actions of others. What is she doing? What is he doing? What are they doing? Look at them. What should our focus be on? On ourselves. Because we will be asked about what we did. We are responsible for what we do.
Have you ever seen something on internet when some people write about some person? One comes and gives comments, the other comes here. One is talking for and the other talking against. Some people know and some talk without knowing. So basically this is a weakness of human beings, that they dispute with each other regarding others or people before them. So what will be the outcome? What will be the benefit?
Nothing.
If you are disputing with your sister about a personality of a past, what will be the outcome?
Nothing.
People dispute about players, that who will win or who is the best, movie stars, scholars, religious leaders, political leaders. They try to prove that the one they love or they respect is better than the other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ, they have gone with their actions. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ, you will not be forgiven for their actions, because they were very pious people whom you respect. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you because you were in their favor. And same, if you are against someone, that will not help you, benefit you the Day of Judgment. You will be asked about your deeds. So each one of us should think about our own deeds. What do we do? We are very keen, interested, inquisitive about what others do, whether they are right or wrong. Instead, we should think about our own selves. When it is a matter of dunya, we are selfish. We think, mera kya banega? When it's a matter of akhira, we talk about others and forget our own selves.
Let's listen to the recitation.
فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اهْتَدَوْا وَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ صِبْغَةَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ صِبْغَةً وَنَحْنُ لَهُ عَابِدُونَ قُلْ أَتُحَاجُّونَنَا فِي اللَّهِ وَهُوَ رَبُّنَا وَرَبُّكُمْ وَلَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُخْلِصُونَ أَمْ تَقُولُونَ إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَالْأَسْبَاطَ كَانُوا هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارَى قُلْ أَأَنْتُمْ أَعْلَمُ أَمِ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ كَتَمَ شَهَادَةً عِنْدَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ
So Alhamdulillah, you are lucky that you have completed one juz. And inshallah, one day you will complete 30 juz. Inshallah, inshallah. May you be among those who complete it.
Inshallah.
So congratulations. You want to say something?
Many times when there's a match going on or something, people associate themselves with particular teams that are playing, so that when the game is over, when a particular team wins, if your team wins, you say, yes, we won. Whereas you're not actually the one who won, it's the people who were playing who won. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ They spent their time playing, you spent your time just watching. Don't just watch, do something.
And congratulations to online students also. Our love and du'as for you. So anyone wants to say something about what did you learn in this juz? From Al-Fatiha to this ayah? How do you feel? Do you feel any change in this 1 month? Did you learn something? You feel you got something. Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum. I was just going to say what I wanted from this course was to learn the Quran and obviously the word to word, and Alhamdulillah, I feel so good. And just the first week I was so worried that it's only 18 months and it's going to be over in 18 months. I was so worried, I was upset after the first week only because it's going to be done in 18 months. But Alhamdulillah, I've gained so much, and it's only 17 months now, so inshallah I'll continue on. But what I was going to say is I almost thought it was impossible to learn Arabic.
Anyone else? Share your feelings.
Assalamu alaikum. One thing I really enjoy is my time. Like now, alhamdulillah, every time I go back home, it's al-huda, Quran, over and over and over again. Before, I remember I used to go to university, I'm like, oh, I'm so bored, what should I do? Let me call my friend. Oh, I'm so sleepy, I'm wasting so much time. But now I really like it. So one thing I like is my time, that's all.
That's the best investment of time. You see, time is money. And on the day of Akhirah, we will be regretful if we have wasted it. But why do we waste? Because we don't know what to do. And there are two types of people. Some take it positively and they enjoy it. And the others, they think this is kind of killing them. And they were killing time. And if they will not use time, time will kill them. So don't take this course as time killing or it's killing you. It's alhamdulillah, the blessing of Allah. Huwa khairum mimma yajma'un. Okay? Anything else?
Assalamu alaikum. One thing that I really liked about Al-Huda is the people. So being here, when you're around so many students of the Quran, you just learn so much from them. And you know, coming from a high school environment, you know, it was such a change. And every day I meet new people. I see your smiling faces and all the white hijabs. And it's such a, you know, a good feeling to be here. And I'm just really glad that I got the opportunity to come here. And every day I'm learning from you guys. So we're all changing. We're all helping each other.
Alhamdulillah. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
I must say that I was very happy to come to Al-Huda. And I was very, like, crank. But subhanAllah, at the beginning, I must be honest that I was coming, like, driving my car, like, it was so hard to come here because I had so many, alhamdulillah, like, tests, subhanAllah. But every day I came and I finally, alhamdulillah, reached the school. I see, like, you know, Allah's word is taking me in charge, and now I find, like, the peace and the strength to just finish my day. And then I go back. And subhanAllah, every day I gain a little bit more like trance, or I become more qualified to back for riding like my car to the school. That finally, mashallah, I was able to turn my car and come like straight forward. Like it was so getting much easier, subhanAllah. And what was making hard for me, I make dua, and also like the school taught me how to make dua for this to become easy, mashallah. And I see now something more beautiful than the heart that I was going through from the beginning is now entering my home. So, alhamdulillah.
Are you the one who speaks French?
Yes.
Say something in French.
Je viens de la Gaspésie et je suis très heureuse d'être parmi vous. C'est une grande bénédiction pour moi d'être parmi vous. Et maintenant, même le français, je l'ai presque oublié parce que toujours on parle en anglais, en arabe.
You see, I love listening different languages. I was in the University of Glasgow, I was in the languages department. I used to go to language lab and just sit and see different channels, Russian and Vietnamese and all type of languages, just listening, because this is signs of Allah. But how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created different languages and how He has chosen and preferred Arabic language for His book. So if you read Quran in French or English, Urdu or Arabic, it's totally different.
Assalamu alaikum. I was just thinking about it like a reflection for myself. In the last verses we've been doing, it keeps coming up about like being Muslim and submitting to Allah. And I was just thinking, like, as we're here doing the course, and then what was the word that came up? Mukhlisin today? In order to submit, we have to be pure, like, in our intentions and what we do and everything. And that makes it easier. And, like, even for me, there's a lot of things, like, you know, as learning Quran, you want to give up, you want to change about yourself. But you can't do that until your heart is pure. And the only way to submit is when you have a pure heart. Because then you know, like, what you're doing is sincerely just for Allah. Your intention isn't to make people think that you're really good or anything. That's what I was thinking. Like, while we're reading the Quran, and like while we're trying to implement it and, you know, change ourselves, just try to purify your heart.
So one is that a person submits only outwardly just to please people, just to satisfy people. And the other is that a person sincerely submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what has value.
I'm from a country that is torn in a war. So subhanAllah, like when we, basically we have a government that is dictator, that he take the men to the military service where they don't have any future. And the women stay, sometimes they take them to the military service where sometimes they are physically abused, sexually harassed, so many things. But alhamdulillah that Allah took us out from the hardship. And when we got into Sudan, the first thing we did was we start complaining about the weather. Okay, my sister was the one who reflected about this. And she told me, and I was like, subhanAllah, I'm smiling and I'm just thinking about Ben Israel while I'm doing the same thing. So all of you in here, all of us have a ni'mah. Some of you never experience of those people who are living in a situation where there's a war. And not only that, but subhanAllah, Allah took us out from that difficulty, but He bring us in here, and we are living in a peaceful country. And then we have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah, when we see the Pakistan, the disaster, I mean, we just say, like, okay, that's happened. But that might happen to us. So let's thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today. And that is one of the things that I learned in this juz, that to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you might not find it tomorrow. Jazakumullah khair.
That is a very important lesson. We don't think about the benefits that we're enjoying, the peace that we're enjoying, the security, the safety. And instead we focus on the things that we don't have, or the weather, or just a few things which are not that major. And this juz, so many times the Bani Israel were told, what is, why? Remember this favor, remember that favor. Don't forget to do shukr. So one of the main lessons that we learn from this juz is gratitude. And gratitude is expressed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how? How? By obeying Him. By doing that which pleases Him. Because you can't just say thank you and do something that Allah dislikes or Allah disapproves of. Let's listen to the recitation of these verses.
وَمَن يَرْغَبُ عَن مِّلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَن سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ وَلَقَدِ اصْطَفَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بَنِيَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنتُم مُّسْلِمُونَ أَمْ كُنتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتُ إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن بَعْدِي قالوا نعبد إلهك وإله آبائك إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق إلها واحدا ونحن له مسلمون تلك أمة قد خلت لها ما كسبت ولكم ما كسبتم ولا تسألون عما كانوا يعملون وقالوا كونوا هودا أو نصارى تهتدوا قل بل ملة إبراهيم حنيفا وما كان من المشركين قولوا آمنا بالله وما أنزل إلينا وما أنزل إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط وما أوتي موسى وعيسى وما أوتي النبيون من ربهم لا نفرق بين أحد منهم ونحن له مسلمون فإن آمنوا بمثل ما آمنتم به فقد اهتدوا وإن تولوا فإنما هم في شقاق فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ صِبْغَةَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ صِبْغَةً وَنَحْنُ لَهُ عَابِدُونَ قُلْ أَتُحَاجُّونَنَا فِي اللَّهِ وَهُوَ رَبُّنَا وَرَبُّكُمْ ولنا أعمالنا ولكم أعمالكم ونحن له مخلصون أم تقولون إن إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط كانوا هودا أو نصارى قل أأنتم أعلم أم الله ومن أظلم ممن كتم شهادة عنده من الله وما الله بغافل عما تعملون تلك أمة قد خلت لها ما كسبت ولكم ما كسبتم ولا تسألون عما كانوا يعملون
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته